What's up, guys? This is Uriah Faber, the California Kid, here with Greg Conley, serial entrepreneur, founder of Trifecta Nutrition. We're talking about everything under the sun, fitness, entertainment, and of course, business, making that money.
Now that we're slightly less hungover from last night.
I like the plant setup.
Yeah.
It's like really, it's kind of symbolic.
Yeah, it's very simple. Well, we'd have to do some due diligence, maybe a little research and find out whose plant should end up where, but this may be about right, to be honest, depending on what we're looking at.
I like this breakdown.
Bank accounts.
I don't know. I'm looking at this plant. It's a little,
small. What are we looking at here?
What is this even called? What kind of
personalities, business plans? How well endowed are you? We may have to switch these things around.
You've got to switch these up a little bit.
Well, we may have to play a game here.
You know,
put them on the table, boys.
I've heard theories about overcompensation, but
is that a chin comment? That's Mother Nature's compensation. This is a sign of testosterone. You're talking about this kind of compensation.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The chin is about testosterone.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a sign of testosterone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
Now I know.
Yeah.
It learned me today.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I can't grow. I think growing a beard might also be a sign of testosterone. I can't do that, so I have no clue if that's true or not. But
yeah, it's growing the beard makes your jawline look bigger, which is, like, a better sign of testosterone.
Well, I can't grow. I think it's just from, you know, if you look at, like, the finches of Galapagos Island, survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
Like his ancestors needed a beard to stay warm, and mine were hopefully basking
dependent
in the sun.
On their chins to
actually
make
I don't know what the weather's like in Holland, but nonetheless
it. Oh yeah, go, you gotta do the intro.
Well, it's
Doc.
All good. This is all good. Well, intro happens, we have a set intro, so
okay.
We're here right now with my man Bradley Martin, Greg Conley, about to do some discovery, figure out where we need to place these plants at the end of the show.
Yeah, this is really why we're here.
For those who don't know, Bradley is a world-renowned entertainer on Facebook.
When Facebook used to be popping, actually, I feel like it's coming back. I've been seeing some things. I've been talking to some people. I hear it's like it's making a comeback.
I want to get some insight. I mean, you know the world of Instagram, of Facebook, of
YouTube.
And everything else. So I want to get your input on where you think those things are going eventually. But, you know, nearly 300 million views on YouTube at this point.
Yeah.
Nearly 3 million followers on Instagram. And obviously someone that knows about health, nutrition, working out, fitness as a bodybuilder, not for competition, just for self-indulgence.
Yeah, for life.
for life, dog.
For life.
For you know, being healthy, for part of what your brand is about, and building a business around yourself, which is interesting to me. Greg, you guys have known each other for a while. How'd you guys meet up?
We actually got intro'd from Brooke Entz, our very first guest on the podcast. She had just done a quick kind of training, hangout, you know, joke around video shoot at Bradley's gym.
Oh. And she probably loved that.
Yeah, she was actually on my podcast quickly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
She's a great guest for damn sure. She's just a cool person overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of good personality, and you know, we saw that on YouTube and immediately we're like, Brooke, what's up with making the intro to Bradley? Let's get him on board.
Yeah.
He's kind of cool. And then we met him and we were really disappointed. And
yeah, just
you
like,
know.
Just fucking
this
down.
This guy's a turd.
Like, fuck. What happened?
That's why he has the baby plant, but
yeah.
We'll jockey those around in the end of this thing. The problem with so I talked about, you know, depth perception. I didn't want to be too far back here. I'm already at a disadvantage as far as size goes on this here. And I didn't need the big plant in front of me. If I even sit down like this, the plant would cover up my chin.
Yeah, he came in here and was like, why is this plant in front of me? He's like, this is not.
Who the fuck is in charge of set
and
right
it
now?
Says Ellen on it, so that's more up your alley. So, you know, a bunch of mixed signals. But nonetheless, love to get to know you a little bit better, man. We got to hang out last night at the game, which was awesome.
It was
the Kings Utah Jazz game. Kings failed on that attempt, unfortunately. But we had a great time, man.
Yeah.
And so, first and foremost, give us kind of a rundown where you come from and where you were raised and kind of what you're into.
So where I was raised in a small town called Pacifica, California. It's like a little beach town. I lived like 5-minute drive to the beach.
What beach is that? Pacifica Beach?
Lindemar Beach is what Lindemar. It would be called. Okay. But yeah, it's
like San Francisco Peninsula.
Yeah, yeah, it's literally 5 minutes, 6 minutes south of San Francisco. Like, if you, I don't even know what that freeway is anymore. I haven't been up there in so long. That's bad.
It's like the 101 or something.
Yeah, you need to get back south to your roots,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, 101 south, and it's like 5 minutes from San Francisco if you're on that with no traffic. So it's just right down the street, right down the highway. Past, like, if you're in San Francisco, the next city south would be like Daly City and then Pacifica.
Gotcha.
On the coast there.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, I think you said like what I was into. It's funny because that's where, like, I guess I kind of really started getting into like training and trying to get stronger, trying to get like bigger, trying to be a bodybuilder in a sense. But it was like very small town. Not a lot of people were really into that. It was like a little 24-hour fitness. Before that, when I was even younger, it was like a mom and pop, you know, it was called some gym that eventually closed down. But I got into it definitely when I was young.
Nice. And somebody, was there somebody that was that helped push you into it, or was it something that was just kind of, you brought it on yourself and was like, I'm gonna be the biggest dude in this little town, get strong? Was it?
No, it wasn't. It was like, originally it was just I played sports, and then I played football, and then I started realizing like, well, I just like lifting weights because it just made me feel good. It made me like more relaxed. So then I just kept pursuing it outside of football, and I met someone. So the guy who really pushed me in my early years, like when I was like 17, yeah, I was 16, 17. This guy named Chad, who was like 30, I think he was like 34 at the time. And I remember he would bench like 315 real easy, like 10 reps. And I'd be like, damn, I want to do that so bad. So I'm like, I couldn't even do it. I would fail. I would try like 225 for like 2 or 3 reps. But that was the first person who really pushed me in the gym. And the cool thing was, I realized like I wasn't really great at the power movements because I hadn't like really spent time trying to learn. There was enough time, but I was really strong at all the accessory stuff. So when I would train with him, like I couldn't even get close to the weight that he'd be doing, like 1 rep, 2 reps, 5 reps with. But when it came to like all the auxiliary, like the extra body part stuff, so like a dumbbell bench press, I was always kind of like
comparable. You could hang.
Yeah, and it was weird. Like, I mean, everyone, I remember they'd all be like, because they were like 34. And I was like 16, 17. They were like, "The fuck?"
Yeah.
So from this, from then, like, they kind of gave me a lot of motivation to be like, you know, you're like good at this shit. You should just keep doing it.
Yeah.
At a very young age, so that was cool.
So was like the football component what got you into the Olympic lifting? Because like that was one of the things I noticed about you when we first like, you know, discovered you on IG or YouTube or wherever, you know, the fuck it was most bodybuilders, especially dudes your size, are like,
yeah,
doing very kind of basic powerlifting movements, you
bodybuilding
know,
stuff, yeah,
bodybuilding type stuff. They're not doing, you know, cleans and, you know, other stuff that requires a huge amount of mobility. That was like,
yeah,
unique
so,
to you.
Yeah. Football, no. Football was just like, that's where I was just like, it was just like squat, bench, deadlift. We didn't really do much of the power movements.
Mm-hmm.
I got into bodybuilding and like just trying to get stronger with the same movements afterwards. And then I moved down to Southern California. And I think when I was, if I remember this correctly, I was like 21. Yeah, 21. And I started Olympic lifting out of a small, like, Olympic lifting, I guess would be considered like school in Whittier, California. It was called Shikara Sports. And I had a coach, Chris. So he was this guy who'd been coaching like people and like in Olympic lifting and like volleyball students and like students or volleyball athletes and people who wanted to just be more explosive. And it was like a little square, literally like the size maybe of like, if you put like an extra few feet on this room, and there was 4 platforms and like, like a wooden wall that you can like hang off of and like do flagpoles and stuff. Yeah.
Peg walls?
No.
The
like
poles.
A bunch of poles.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So that would be here and like here, but it was just a tiny little room. And when I started with him, I was into bodybuilding, so I was like a little bit bigger, but I wasn't as big as I am now. So like, I think because I was able to learn it when I wasn't as big, because then I had to have been like 220, which is still a little bit bigger than most.
And how much you weigh now?
255.
Wow.
So I could still do all the same movements. But then obviously I was a little bit better at it, more clean, because that's what I was doing. Like I'd kind of taken a step back from bodybuilding. I was like, oh, I'm just going to pursue this. And I did actually compete once, like at like an Oktoberfest or something. It was around this time of the year, actually, when I was like 21.
You actually did a bodybuilding competition?
No, Olympic lifting.
Olympic lifting.
Yeah. So the snatch and the clean and jerk.
Okay.
And at this competition, it was, and I'm still trying to get this video, Chris Kimura, this is his name. Can you please get me this damn
Come
video?
On, Chris.
This video
don't
is
blow
me,
it.
We'll track him
me,
down.
Doing a snatch, and since all I knew how, like, my instinct was always like, oh, you want to stand up with it. I did a snatch. It was like a max snatch, and I did it over here. I got it overhead, and I fell to my knees because you're supposed to catch it in the bottom,
mm-hmm.
right? I instantly fell to both my knees, still had it overhead, and then stood up with it.
Oh
and
my
did they,
God.
Do they judge that as
no,
like
once
greens?
You, yeah, no, yeah. no, no, no. Once
you should get a special
ground,
award for that.
Once your knees hit the ground, it's like you miss lip. But mm-hmm. like it all happened so fast that I was like, oh, I'm supposed to end up there. Mm-hmm. So I had it overhead. I was like, I'm going to go up there. I didn't want to just be like, oh, and then put it down. Because I knew it was done, but I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And I think it's funny because that was probably the first thing that I ever did that was like, and people were like, what the fuck? Like, why didn't he just put
That's
it down?
That's abnormal strength.
Yeah, because that was like, because then like later in the years, and because this was when I was like 21, mm-hmm. and Instagram didn't even fucking, it wasn't even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was still people were, I was uploading those pictures and videos to Facebook. So that's funny because like years later when I did Instagram, I did all like the crazy like lifting girls and like doing weird like squats with no hands and squatting and curling and like doing crazy overhead stuff or doing like a squat where I went into like an Indian sit, like cross my legs and then stand back up with like 4 or 5, like crazy stuff. And I just think it's funny because I did that without trying, like thinking I was doing, it was just something that I thought I was supposed to do. But I wish I had that video. He said he had that video somewhere, and I'm still
You
like,
got to get that video.
Because I was super skinny. I wish everyone could see. I was so skinny. But it was like I hit it, and both my knees hit the floor, and then I basically did like a lunge, a step up,
mm-hmm.
like to stand and put it down.
There's some disgusting videos of people failing on those things where like they like crumble and like choke
it
themselves
seems, it's
out
all the CrossFit ones,
their,
though.
Oh, yeah. It's not a CrossFit.
It's not like it's not Olympic lifters. No. It's like people in the CrossFit box.
Yeah. I've seen some chicks that are Olympic lifters that are like, it looks like they're, you know, the center of their asshole is going to fall out if they don't, something doesn't happen
yeah.
soon. And then they just like collapse and like
it
they
destroys
look like they're going to die. Yeah.
yeah.
That's scary. That's crazy. So you hit a knee and then it was like, all right, let's finish this out. And
yeah, because it was just it all happened so quick that I was like,
we
got to
get that video.
Yeah. That video is legit. Like, I want it so bad because I want to post that shit and be like, this is me when I was like 21.
Yeah.
And I was actually doing a competition. So it'd be cool to show people. They're like, it was just kind of like, I was just like, no, I'm going to stand up with this because, like,
yeah.
I wanted the lift, obviously, yeah. but I didn't have it in me because, like, I wouldn't have buckled if I had it in me.
So,
you know?
So obviously, you're starting to gain some momentum and steam. You find something you're passionate about. You're starting to, you know, get more involved on the powerlifting and the you know, bodybuilding. And obviously, you have an awesome personality. How did those things all start to mesh together? How did you start getting some real traction? What was kind of like the thing that set you apart where you're like, oh, man, I mean, especially this new age, we've got all sorts of stars that have built themselves. Like, was that something that happened on purpose, or is it something that just – were you mindful about it? Did you set a goal?
Did you have, like, one video that, like, got major traction or something? And
yeah,
How have you been able to stand out?
Okay, I got to answer that. So – To the video you're talking about, the first video that really went viral was when I jumped out of like 4.5 foot pool. And the reason why I did that was because I saw BJ Penn jump out of like a hot tub. And someone was like, you should jump out of a pool. I was like, that's easy. And I did it like, because I was like, oh, that's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that aside, that was the first viral video. To answer your question about like why I think I stood out. First of all, I had been doing like Instagram since like the day that shit came out.
Yeah.
Like I think it was out for about... like maybe half a year, and then I got it, and it was like completely irrelevant for like that half a year, and then I got it, found it, and was one of the first people posting like fitness content. I think I was like literally, I mean, I know this, I was like the first person who had in the fitness industry who had like 10,000 followers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so like
pretty crazy.
I remember,
how old are you? You're 28.
29.
So
damn, you're on top
I had,
of it.
I had done at the time, like when this was happening, right? I was a trainer and I was coaching people. So I was coaching people in person, I was training people, and I was coaching people for like competitions and stuff. So it had first come out, and basically what I did was obviously post ab selfies because like that's all anyone did back then because there was no videos. Video's a new thing now, it was just photos.
I forgot about that, it changed.
Yeah, so they added, that's right. It went just photos with really shitty filters, or you could just post regular photos, and then it went to like 15-second video, and then later on, then it was a minute, and then they added all the other
and
shit.
And then you could do the stories, and then
that's all brand new. So and back in the day, it was just photos. So I'd post photos of client transformation, excuse me, and I'd post app selfies and like me in the gym doing a curl or some shit. And then, like I said, I don't know why. I think I was one of the first people also on Instagram selling coaching, like online coaching. So there was another account called Instagram Fitness at the time who was owned, it was owned by a buddy of mine. Fuck, I forgot his name. Kevin. I think it was Kevin. Damn, I feel bad. He's going to see this and be like, fuck you.
Fuck. That happens on occasion. You forget simple things.
Because he's a really cool guy. And I think it is Kevin. His Instagram now is like his Fitman Cook or something. He cooks food. This guy from Texas. It is Kevin. And he owned this account, which he later sold to like a really shitty company, but we won't name that company later on. Anyways, he owned this account. It was called Instagram Fitness. And it was the most popular fitness account at the time. And everybody would tag it and try and like get posted on it because it was posted. It was like the first account in fitness that would post repost other people's fitness content.
Right.
So I got with them and was like, I want to do a coaching giveaway because I did online coaching. That was what I did number one at the time, like besides training people in person. And that's how I got a lot of my clients online is I was like, look at the clients that I work with in person. And then I would be like, you know, here's their progress. Here's their transformation. You know, you split the photo and be like before and after thing. And that got me really popular. So then the first thing I did once I kind of got like, I think it was around like 8,000 followers. And he might have been around like 12 or 14. I did a giveaway and then I got 10,000. Then like I was still competing at the time doing Men's Physique because it had just first come out. Like I did the very first shows in Men's Physique, which is like, you know, the board short thing.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about that. It was just some lady who was a trainer, trained bikini girls for like years, was like, you should do this. This new thing's coming out. They're like, you're in shape. And I was like, fuck it. I did the first show that I did. I literally just like took my shirt off and got a tan. I did not diet. I did not train. I just kept doing everything I already did. And then I showed up and was like, oh, shit. I lost. You know? Because everyone had a different idea than I had. I had, because there was no like, that's what they look like. It was a new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I showed up and was like, oh, okay. And then, like, I competed again and I won, like, the next show, the overall, and I did really well. But,
You just feel like you weren't, like, cut enough, or what was the difference?
Oh, yeah.
You weren't taking
like,
it seriously.
Like, I ate pizza the night before.
You had zero plan. You're just like,
no,
oh,
I was like,
guy.
No, because the lady was like, her name was Mary Jo. She was like, yeah, you look great. You should just do it. I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it. That was it. So I signed up. It wasn't like, I'm going to comp prep and, like, I was like, I'm already in shape, fuck it. And then I get there and I'm like, oh, that kind of shape. Oh, we're not the same right now.
But you still went out there and
yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I did it.
Dude, that's, I like that kind of confidence where it's just like, who cares? You knew when you showed up like,
I saw the other guys. I was like, oh.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
I was like, okay, fuck it. Yeah, I got eighth. And there was, I think there was nine people.
There you go.
So,
well, you placed. That's
anyways.
Not bad. That's not bad.
So anyway, but then I saw that and I was like, okay, that's what I got to do. And then the next show I like won the overall and then I did really well. But the point is around that time is when I, after I won the overall the second time, I kept doing the Instagram thing. That was what I did daily next to training people. And then I remember going to shows and the people were like, that's the guy with 10,000 followers. Like, cause no one, it was so brand new.
It was
that
so
no
new.
One, no one had cracked that number. So I had like the, it was like everyone was like, oh, that's the guy. And I was like, this is so fucking weird. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, so flash forward through all that, like years, and I just kept doing it, really. So that's all I really did. I kept doing the same stuff, and then it would evolve with the platform. Like, then you could do videos. So then I started doing videos. And then that's when I jumped out of the pool and I started doing like viral stuff because I guess it became like, this guy's like in shape, but also athletic. Right. That's what really took me off. Because then they saw the crazy stuff where I did like the crazy lifts or the pool stuff or like the athletic stuff. And they're like, oh shit. That's what took me to another level. And then over, I would say like a few years after that, I saw YouTube. I always wanted to do YouTube. And then I met a friend of mine who was a big YouTuber who's like now disappeared on the YouTube scene. PussyTube. He's like, he did pranks and stuff back in the day. He was really popular, super popular on YouTube, really like controversial stuff in the last few like years. Good dude. And I met him at like a football celebrity game, celebrity football game, and was like, oh, he was like out of shape. And I was like, oh, let me train you. I want to get on YouTube. I'll train you for free. Just help me promote myself.
Right.
So he helped me start a YouTube channel. I think I got like 50,000 subscribers in like a few days with no videos.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that because he was posted about it or how
he posted about me once. Mm-hmm. And this was like, he was really popping at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I posted a few photos on Instagram with him training him, getting to Hollywood, and then he posted a video where he, you know, a vlog, like, hey, this guy's gonna train me, go to his channel. I got some subscribers, and then like he fell off, we stopped like working together, and then I just kept doing it. But he wasn't, you can look back on my first few videos on YouTube, he was like, he was in my videos, the very first videos, like he was there. And he helped me like get comfortable on camera. So the reason why I'm telling you this is that it was like that progression, because people think like it was just something, and then I was like, oh, you're popular now. But it was a long fucking time of years of doing it. And then
that's how people think about everything, by the way. It's not just your success. It's Greg's success in business and my success in fighting. And everything's like they see the end result and like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, how many fights have you had?
I had 44 professional fights after a 12-year free wrestling career where I was, you know, top 12 in the nation, you know, et cetera.
So it's and that's the thing. I think people, they're like, especially – it's funny because it's the name of the platform is so like synonymous with like how people think they're gonna get things.
Yeah, I like
Instagram.
That.
Like, I'm oh shit, I want it now. You got it now. I want it now. I deserve it now. Why do you have it? I don't have it. Give it to me now. And it's like, it's funny, man, because like that, and you know, and I mean, at least it used to when you posted a picture, it would be right there. Now it's just like fucking chronologically all messed up, but. I think
why is that?
That's Instagram changing the algorithm. And that's that's fucked a lot. It's confusing me. I mean, it's Instagram, I think, knowing that, hey, a lot of people are making money off this platform. We are not making all the money that they're making. Even though they're making a ton of money, they want to be able to, if they can control what you see, then they can control what advertisers, you know, pay them. Or because they could be like, hey, we can guarantee you this many people will see your stuff. But they have to change the algorithm, and it's got to affect all the users and all the creators so that, like, people who see the content are seeing, like, Instagram is making the people see what they want them to see.
Yeah.
So they can get paid the money.
And right? we had a discussion about this. I was telling you about a couple of my friends, Alan, who does $1 million in paper or Facebook buys per day. Then other guys, and you're talking about the being one of the first guys on Instagram and that was business minded or at least had the goal of creating something, and you're one of the first to market. And then you had relationship skills and were resourceful enough and interesting enough and intelligent enough to start growing that. But my guy's Dan Fleischman, who's a great business guy. He had Who's Your Daddy when he was like 18, 19. He got the rights to Who's Your Daddy. And
that phrase.
The phrase. Yeah. And he licensed it out like 350 ways. And then Brandon Hampton, he has money. He has inspiration. He had I think Dave Chappelle at the time, and he did a land grab.
You're talking about the usernames.
Usernames on Instagram right when it first started, and he was creative enough to build, you know, funny content on Dave Chappelle's and do enough, you know, inspirational stuff, and they ended up coming together and working with guys like yourself. But it's crazy to see now. It's just like the fight game. It was probably a lot easier to, you know, make it to the big show in 2003, 2004 than it is now. 100%.
It's a completely different platform. Like, to give you an example, and I'm going to finish the answer to the question you had earlier about, like, how did I get here now?
Yeah.
But along the way on Instagram, it became this, like, because like I said, Instagram, they saw, like, oh, wow, like, people are monetizing the shit out of this platform. We're not making any of that money. So they started to control more of how people viewed, how people were able to see the content, consume it. So, like, in the beginning of Instagram, there was no, like, suggested videos and all this stuff. It was just like your feed, your profile, and then a popular page.
Right.
It was called a popular page where it was literally on the entire platform. And by the way, Instagram, when it first came out for, I don't know how many years, like two years, it wasn't even on Android. So it was only iPhone users.
Huh.
So there was a page, it was called a popular page. And if you got a picture or a video later on, but a picture, if it was viral enough, fast enough, like within the first, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever, however the algorithm worked at the time, if you got enough engagement, comments, and likes, that you would then sit on this popular page for a day, for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, so if imagine, you know, your search feed that you go to on your phone now,
right?
The search button, like the little glass icon search thing. If you go there, back then, it was one page that you could probably refresh three times and be the same thing for 24 hours.
Right.
Like, well, for the life of, once they put a picture on there, that'd be on there for 24 hours, and then like, that would expire, another picture would go. So that would obviously, it wouldn't be all the same stuff all the time, but for about 24 hours, if you were on there, you were on there for 24 hours. So I got on there like three or four times, and the second you got on that page, you get like 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, whoa. It was like, the minute you got on that page, everyone was like texting you like, oh shit, you're on a popular page. Yeah.
That's happened to me before too.
Yeah. So, and then it was just like, it was crazy because I got on there like twice. And I was like, man, this is amazing. And then they changed it like the next day. The next day it was like based on people you follow, based on photos. So they started to just like kind of change the user experience, like for the user, but really for like planning for advertisements.
Yeah, right. They're segmenting.
They're learning.
Advertisers, yeah.
So anyways, with me, my story of like, when did I really start to, I guess, blow up? It was after I started YouTube, because like all the strength stuff was really cool. And I think people really appreciate it and still appreciate it now. Like the strength stuff, the physique stuff. But it was when I got on YouTube and started like doing longer format videos where I started talking and like sharing stories about my life and like actual like human shit. Not just like, look at me do cool stuff and be strong.
Right.
Is that's when I really started to take off. And that's when like at least financially or business wise, people started to really become a part of my brands and the things that I was endorsing or being a part of, because they looked at me as like someone who, because the real shit I was sharing. Like if right. I'm just sharing like, hey, this is my real life, this is what I've gone through, someone will hear that and see where I'm at or where someone else is at and be like, wow, I respect what they're doing. I love what they're doing. I want to do that. And oh, they've been through these things that I can relate to. And that was just it, me just sharing stories of my life and like on a longer, so they'd be like, so those people, once they came back over, they're like, oh, I really like this guy.
Right.
Because he's a real human. And I think that is now, if you're talking about, and we were a second ago, how difficult it is to like grow on these platforms now, I think that's the number one thing people need to focus on. It's like, it's cool, we all do great things and can all do great things, and I think everyone's capable of that. But like, once you do it and you're like the guy, what else? Like if you show people who you are as a human, I think that's when people are like, oh wow, I'm really like, I really want to get to know this person. I really want to support this person. Because if I told you a story that was like close to me, and then you're like, wow, I really relate to that, you're going to look at me a little bit differently and be like, you know, I like that guy because I see a little bit of myself in that person, or like I can understand that struggle. So, you know, you just feel more connected. Right. So if people do that now, I feel like that is the number one thing that's still allowing people to become like popular, if they're able to connect like that. Or you can just fucking chug fucking gallons of alcohol, like, I guess, too. That's like really Supreme. Out too. Like, that's the thing, is like fucked up. Or you can just start do crazy
eating,
shit where like
eating Tide Pods.
If I just did videos where I slapped you in the face, it would probably go viral.
But I think I see this all the time. There's
like,
people
fuck, dude.
There's like
fuck.
There's like,
I really mean this. He's over here dying, but it's so true. Yeah. It's like you could be really from the heart and connect with people.
Yeah,
or
face
you could just
slapper
like chug fucking fifths of Jack Daniels and you'll go viral.
Yeah.
That's happening though. There's a guy right now who's blowing up because he literally just drinks alcohol like the whole bottle. Have you seen this?
Okay, well that's gonna be the second half of the podcast. So.
Yeah,
just Bradley Martin like drinks the whole thing, opens it, the whole thing gone.
That's
and
crazy.
That's, those are his
hey,
videos.
Special talent. I know I couldn't do that, not on a
that's
consistent
amazing.
Basis.
Yeah,
that without dying. Well, I think it's funny what you're saying, and it's one of those. It's just like the fight game, as far as like people always talk about some of my favorite fighters. Nick and Nate Diaz, those guys aren't trying to fit into a box. They're just being themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Chuck Liddell, he didn't say a lot of words. He was just being himself. Like, all my favorite fighters, I look back in the day, people would try too hard to do things. Even Conor McGregor. I know Conor McGregor well. That's really how he is. He's mouthy. He's funny. He has a temper. He's, you know, believes in himself, all this kind of stuff. Real people can tell, people know fraudulent, like even if we're like pushing a product or something, there's a difference between doing an advertisement and you doing something that's creative that's
hold
you
on, hand me that box over there.
Well, yeah, let's do it.
Hand me that box. Hand me that bar right there.
So
that box real quick.
I mean, seriously, people get there we go.
Wait, you mean doing it like, hold on. Hold on a sec, these are my favorite kind of advertisements. You mean like doing an advertisement?
Yeah.
He's like
yeah,
fuck with you. Pan the camera down.
That's awesome. You can get that at trifectanutrition.com.
Yeah, go there right now. But actually, though, anyways.
But no, I mean, seriously, people are not dummies. And especially today's day and age, they know, like, if you're being real and if you're not. And the people that are really coming off, you know, as genuine and are also interesting or have some special talent, even if it's slamming alcohol, it's, you know, it's like that's their thing. That's what they can do. Somebody can... You know, what are the, you ever see those shows or hear about those shows in Tijuana where girls are like
Oh no!
Throwing
don't! Are you really talking about that right now?
Throwing the ping pong balls. You're changing the audience.
Ping pong balls. Yeah. Yeah.
Not with their hands, by the way.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
with their hands.
I'm gonna leave that to your imagination. Okay. We have to shift some of these plants
around.
From
their lower half of their body, FYI.
Can we get this plant over here at this moment? We're talking about this. But more interesting than that, because I'm dealing with it, even with the fighters, which is one of the hardest businesses. And you and I talked about you possibly getting into some training to do some scrapping. Yeah, well, let's not hush it quite yet. But you know, learning some boxing, learning some jiu-jitsu, be able to defend yourself, or maybe even take a fight if somebody wants to step up on occasion. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff's important. But here's the thing that you just described, which a lot of people don't understand, and you know, from a business standpoint also, is how much do you know? I just learned so much. I kind of know about Instagram. I kind of know about YouTube. You know the ins and outs of that business. You understand the beginning of it. I understand the beginning of mixed martial arts, how the Gracies were involved, how, you know, super matches were made, how it evolved into this, and who the owners were, and how that business changed. And I mean, all these different intricate pieces. Some people just do not understand that it takes that much information to get really great at something and really excel at something. Some people are not able to do the work and spend the time to do it, and some people don't care either way. There's definitely people that get lucky and just hit the, you know, make it.
Of course, yeah.
But most people that have success in anything, whether it be on YouTube or Instagram or in business or in the fight game, have done so much research, put in so many hours to get the intricate parts. And that, you know, is the part that is good for you and I and for you, because not everybody is willing to sacrifice. Not everybody has this people skills to be strategic. Not everybody can put in the hours and have the commitment and regimen. And so that is the saving grace for when you see somebody having success and everybody wanting it, and just realize, you know, that's not that easy. You don't want to do what I did. You want to fight 44 professional fights and win a championship and do this and do that. Like, here's – it starts here, way, way back. If you want to do it, what you've done, it starts here. If you want to do what you've done, it starts here. And that's why it's important for people to understand these stories, because a lot of times it's just awareness. Like, people – there's someone out here that will get inspired by this and see this and go, oh, shoot, well, let me start doing some research on what I'm passionate about.
Yeah,
and then other people, it'll be like, oh, forget it. I'm just going to get a regular job.
Yeah, and I mean, even in the social media space, we actually see this a lot, where someone will, like you talked about the video of you jumping out of the pool, like someone will have, they won't understand the platforms as well, they won't understand the algorithms, all that type of stuff, you know, what makes content sticky, et cetera, and they'll have one, like, viral video that will blow up, and, you know, on YouTube or something, and they'll jump from, like, 30,000 followers to, like, 500,000, and then they just stay there. They end up never gaining any additional traction going forward, and it's because they haven't put in that, like, groundwork. But, you know, there are occasionally people that do Instagram, like, Insta blow up, but it's like, you know, when that happens, nothing changes. You know what I mean? They just stay stagnant. It's like them having some sucker punch or something, or running some business promo that happens to, like, luckily work out, but they haven't done, like, that groundwork to really understand the platform. And, you know, even the way you talk, you're like, well, I'm seeing stuff shifting back over to Facebook and you know, we talk a lot about, like, YouTube controlling, like, engagement on Instagram is, like, largely controlled by YouTube, which is fucking really weird, because those are two separate platforms. And I don't know, that's,
you know, it's a connection thing. Like, if you could, because there's longer, you can't do super long format on Instagram. I mean, you can if you want to post, like, a bunch of stories now of this, like, you talking. But that, just on Instagram alone, doesn't get as much engagement.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the thing is, like, the people, it's weird. Like, people use Instagram daily, all the time. But those same people may not use YouTube. But the same people who use YouTube probably use Instagram daily.
Yep.
Right.
All the time. It's just like they watch YouTube videos, like their television. So it's like it's weird, because Instagram is a place where, like, someone may never even go to your YouTube. Like, it's very hard to cross over from people from Instagram to YouTube.
Right.
It's easy to cross over people from YouTube to Instagram, because everyone uses Instagram, and it's so easy to use because it's on your phone.
Right.
Even though YouTube is like, oh, it's on my phone too. It's just a different type of consumer, people who watch those videos. So if you can build, like, a real relationship with people on YouTube, then when they're on your Instagram, then they're like, they they're more attuned to you and what you say or what you do or who you are, or what you have to share. So yeah. Then like they're going to be more engaged with you.
Yeah, and that's another part of this thing is just understanding your audience, understanding things that are more than just, hey, I'm going to make a YouTube channel, or hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And something else that you touched on, which I thought was awesome, and Greg and I do this, and Greg is a specialist in a lot of different ways and on stuff business-wise that some of our business associates, we're in a group called EO, and we share knowledge and experiences, and it's like friendship and life experiences, but also learning. And Greg did an in-depth like presentation for over an hour on how to capture an audience from emails, you know. And then that's part of my strategic alliance in business. Then I have my strategic alliance on my fight game, where I've got other coaches that are helping, my teammates and my recovery stuff. And you talked about, you know, the first guy that you came up to and said, hey, I'm going to train you for free and give me some you know, pub on your YouTube channel. And you form these strategic alliances. I saw it at 1600 Vine. I had an apartment at 1600 Vine. And it started out with a couple of guys who were at Vine. They happened to be Viners on the platform Vine at the time, and they just happened to be at this apartment. But it ended up being like 18 Vine stars that are now Instagram and YouTube and now getting into acting and promoting and all these different stuff. And they decided to scratch each other's backs and build partnerships and friendships and strategize together. And that's such an important thing that sometimes gets overlooked at all, you know, on that front. And we're doing it right now. You know, we're building relationships and we'll be able to help each other. And it comes back to personal credit. Are you a good person? Are you have the same like moral values or the same work ethics and stuff like that? That's another important part of success that I think people overlook sometimes.
I think it's one of the most overlooked things. Like, because if you boil everything down to like me, let's say like me getting followers or whatever, whatnot. But like to move forward, like you said, in any space, you cannot do it alone. Period.
Right.
Doesn't matter what the fuck you're doing, you have to involve other people. So if you're not a good person, if you can't treat someone like with respect or with love, then like eventually like that person's gonna like not want to be a part of what you're doing or support it.
Yeah, I call that personal credit. Credit. My mom always said your credit is second to your health. Financial credit, personal credit trumps all that. I mean, are you a person that has proven that you're trustworthy and that you do what you say and that you're, you know, you work, your personal credit is valuable. It's not who you know. How many people do you know that'll drop your name, but you don't want anything to do with that person? And if somebody asks you, like, oh man, oh yeah, you know so-and-so, I talked to so-and-so, and you're like, oh man, that.
Oh, yeah, people like, come to my, just on a small scale, people come to my gym all the time and be like, oh yeah, I know Brad, let me in for free.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you know me and you like, you support me, it's the fucking day pass is not that expensive, bro. It's like 20 bucks. Like, it's weird, like even on a small scale, like there's tons of people who be like, yeah, I know Brad. And my employees will be like, okay.
Yeah. And it goes like this.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know somebody? It's like, oh, it's who you know. It's not who you know. It's who you know, what they think about you.
What kind of relationship do you actually
have? What kind of relationship you have? Do they want to do something with you, et cetera? So people, you get the name droppers all the time. And you know, sometimes it's like I've seen guys that I've grown up with that are now pillars in different types of communities. And that's a real relationship that I've helped him and he's helped me, and now we've risen to a different area. But there's value in being a good person, man.
It all comes down to all my popularity at some point, it's cool, this guy, but like it came down to like who I was inside, and was I willing to be vulnerable and share that. And that's when they were like, oh, I actually like this person,
right?
And being able to do that is hard, I think sometimes even just on person to person level. Like if I just met you or weren't on camera, go talk somewhere, I think it's hard sometimes, especially in this, well, if I say this, but especially in my industry, the fitness industry, like it's all ego and it's externally driven. So if I come to a conversation with you and like, let's say I try and treat you some sort of way because I feel some sort of way about myself, like it's going to be like a problem versus like being vulnerable, being like, hey, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Like from my heart, you know?
Absolutely.
So I'm able to do that. The hardest thing, I think, for most people on the internet trying to be like influencers, being able to do that to like a camera that's not a human eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's crazy. I'm doing, you know, Alpha Male is the name of my team. I've had a clothing line and I studied in school as a human development major about nature and about humans and about animals and this and that. And I learned about this bird. I think it's called a mannequin bird. This mannequin bird, they work in groups. They'll be like an alpha male, and they'll be wingmen, and there can be up to seven depending on the species. There's like 50 different species of this mannequin bird, and the mannequin bird will do these choreographed, goofy. One will be like doing like a moonwalk on a branch, and like the other one will be like flopping around.
They're like,
and
come then, over here.
And they, no, seriously, and it's all to attract a female, and it takes a lot of courtship for like the guy to actually get laid at the end of the day. And he'll have to do a bunch of dances. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But what happens is these birds will all work birds, together.
Dude. Your eyes like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you growing over there, bro?
So these birds will work as a team. And the two will kick rocks. And the last one, the alpha male, will get the chick. And there's some they work in twos and different species. There's like 50 different species. Sometimes they'll work in like groups of seven and do these choreographed dance, but it's a trip to see. But the likelihood of these wingmen becoming this guy in the middle is heightened tremendously if they are a wingman before they become that position. And so it's kind of a trip, like how helping each other out is such an integral part of nature. Like there's, you know, doing things alone. Those people, people that drink Haterade or the hater situation is crazy to me. And it carries over in humans and animals and everything else. But like, we all help each other with success. And yeah. I see that more and more with the social media world. Like, you have to build some sort of alliances, but it really can't just be about yourself. You know, you have to
offer something.
And in a short time I've got to know you, I mean, I feel like a genuine like person that comes out. And I think, you can't always teach that.
Definitely.
Yeah, let me get that plant.
He's feeling it.
Yeah. The genuine person. And it's obvious to me why, you know, you've had success in that one area. And I think, you know, the business stuff will start to come more on top of that.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And it's cool. It's actually that the analogy you gave is kind of trippy if you really think about it, because like animals like that don't have like a conscious idea of the things that they're doing. They just do it because it's inside of them.
Right.
So it's completely, like you said, nature.
Yeah.
And like we are a big part of that. We're just, we like complicate shit like immensely with our own consciousness.
Right.
But like we all can apply that same concept, like helping each other succeed. And then, like you said, they help that guy succeed. And then eventually, like, they'll be helped to succeed.
Right.
Yeah.
And, exactly. And then it comes down to, like, yeah, like Greg said, and I think I reiterated, but like having something to offer. Cause I think a lot of people, for example, I'll get it up all the time on social media, be like, shout me out, just shout me out. Like, some random person all the time.
Oh,
and
yeah, I'm just me
like,
too.
And I just wanna say this is like, even if I shouted you out, cause first off, there'd be a thousand, they'd be like, thousand other people be like, fuck you, Brad. You didn't shout me out. You shouted out that guy, though. Fuck you. Right?
Yeah.
So they, first off, like, I'd have half my followers mad at me. Second off is like, even if I shouted you out or that person out or this person out, it's like, if you don't have something when they land on your page and they're like, wow, I'm connected to this. I feel like, oh, I can connect to this. Or what can I learn more of? Like, if you don't have something there on your page, people aren't going to stay. They'll be like, oh, I see it. Okay, I'm back on this page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think. You have to have something to offer to people. It can't just, like, they think it's that easy, like, oh, if the big guy with all the followers tags you, or someone who's popular tags you, then you just get a bunch of followers. No, it's like they need to land there and be like, why am I interested in this? People do that. Like, you can't, listening to this, you can't deny that. Like, if you saw someone tag somebody, you're going to go see and say it's a hot girl, and you're like, maybe that's your type. You're probably going to follow, but it's because you had that connection to it. You're right. Like, oh, I like the way this girl looks. I like, she got an ass or some titties or whatever. Like, oh, I'm going to follow her. Like, any guy can't deny that. Then it's like, you go to someone else's page, you're like, okay, why am I staying here? You need to give people a reason to stay there.
Yeah, I think about that like the, when it comes to cash. If you ever see a guy that no matter how much money he has, he'll be broke. You know, I had a good friend like this. He was Native American, and he had a stipend of cash that would come in, and the more kids he had, the more money he would get.
What?
And he, yeah, it's just the way it was. Like, you got, you know, whatever. He wasn't having kids just to get money, but that's just the way it worked.
Yeah,
he ended up having like six kids and whatnot. And at the beginning of the month, he'd get this big check from the Indian reservation. And about 2 weeks into it, he was broke. He had like 16 cars. He had motorcycles and this and that. It's like me going, having money and him being like, man, I really need some money, man. Can you give me some money? And instead I say, hey, well, why don't I set up this thing? I'm going to take the money that I would give you and I'm going to put it in investment for you. And then you're going to get paid this amount of money on the thing or whatever. It's the same kind of situation. Like you, that person, you should sell a class on how to do what you've done and say, hey, instead of shouting out, why don't you give me some money and I'll teach you. It's like teach a man to fish versus giving a man a fish.
Yeah, how to do something that actually brings value. Yeah.
People don't want that. They just want like this.
And they don't fucking instant. They don't
Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, give it to me now.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. But like that would be more beneficial. But people, that kind of content and like those kind of sales things, it's the hardest sell because people think like, no, just give it to me.
Yeah.
Because it just does not fucking work that way.
No. Yeah.
It never has though.
I know a couple people on YouTube that have done, YouTube used to, I don't know if they have it anymore, but they used to have the same thing, like the popular page or the training page
or whatever.
They still have it, yeah. And they, you know, figured out how to actually get on that page, but they waited until they had like 30 plus videos of like legit shit before they actually tried to like hack the algorithm and get their shit on the page. Cause they knew if, you know, you have one video that goes viral and people come check out your stuff. And exactly like you said, you have nothing on there. They're not going to subscribe.
Yeah.
It's like the dude that, saw the double rainbow, you know what I mean? He had that video that got like 10 million views, and then that was the whole thing was one video of a double rainbow, and then he started trying to sell shirts and all this shit.
Yeah.
And everybody's like,
and no one's connected to him.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, bro, you saw a double rainbow, and that was awesome, but like,
well, like I'm not buying this shirt.
Why the fuck would I buy this shirt from you?
Rainbow now.
That's it, man. It's like, it's ultimately all this shit, it's crazy because ultimately it's like, you can get people to look at something and see like, oh, that's a cool physique, or that guy's a great fighter, or like see you do some stuff. But at the end of the day, if it's going to come down to like building a business or like getting people really invested in what you're doing, you need to be able to connect with them.
Right.
Like, and you don't connect with them. You may connect with them because you're the best at something and they may be like, wow, that's amazing. But even still, like there's still another step of like, okay, you're the best at something. How are you going to relate that to everyone?
Right.
Because being the best at something is not relatable to everyone. Sometimes they'd be like, oh, that guy's the best at it. And people will like unconsciously put you on a pedestal and they put you on like, that guy's amazing, but I'll never get there. So like, they almost feel like, well, I don't
it's
even want to
reach. It's the growth mindset.
So it's like, if you can be like, oh, you're great at something, but like we're here together, then someone feels closer to you.
Yeah.
Then they feel more like, damn, I could actually like, I would want to meet this person, have a conversation with this person.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things that helped me become more successful in this industry was when I started to go to the events and just talk to people and just meet people. Mm-hmm. Like I go there with no agenda, not trying to sell shit, didn't have any, like sometimes I would just show up. I mean, until this last Olympia, I would just show up with no booth and just walk around and just take photos and talk to people the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, you would be shocked at the number of people, the staggering number of people who come up to me, talk to me for like 5 minutes, be like, hey man, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. Everyone else just like, get the fuck out of here. Everyone else is like, come in the booth, take a picture, buy a thing, fuck off.
Yep.
With no dialogue, no talk. But it's like,
well, you're not doing that with an agenda. That's just who you are. That's what I was saying earlier is like, you know, some people, I mean, that's just more of a personality thing. And it's also a consciousness of treating everybody with respect and on an equal playing
field. But it's shocking to me because everyone wants that success. But it's like, the craziest thing is you get followers on the internet. It's like, it's a number, but that number is a person,
right?
That's the craziest thing, and people don't understand that. They're like, you got all these numbers, a million, whatever, 500,000, 200,000, 1,000, but like each of those numbers, unless it's a bot, which most of the time it's not, because Instagram has like got rid of a lot of those, but like bot accounts that people would create. Anyway, it's a long story. It's like it's a person who signed up, who's like watching your stuff, your things. But it's like people treat them like it's just a number. So when you see them in person, if you treat them like they're just a number, like get the fuck out of here. Like, why do you think that person is going to give a fuck about you?
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like your success. And that's what kills me. I'm like, if I was like a famous, and even still like Will Smith's a great example of this, but if I was like a famous actor, then maybe like say I was a famous actor for 10 years, then I got an Instagram, then maybe I'd be like, well, like I'm already famous. Not like I shouldn't be good to these people.
Right.
But like my success 100% is built off of social media.
Right.
So without the people supporting me, I would have no success. Like people always say, thank you for all this stuff that I've done, these videos I've done. But like at the same time they say it, I tell them thank you back because I wouldn't have anything that I have.
Right.
Like someone asked me the other day, they were like, oh, do you own the gym or do you have an investor? Like do you have a silent investor and you're like the face of the gym? Like, no, I own the gym.
Yeah.
And I do not have an investor. And then I think about it, I'm like, well, I got like millions of investors, I guess. So you guys who have bought my shit over the years, who have supported me, that's how I have this gym. But no
attitude came and was like, gratitude. Here's a bunch of
money. And that's how it has to be though. But people, they get followers and they get it fucked up because they start getting some money and they're like, oh, you should think I'm important because everyone else does. It's like, no, like these people are voting to support you. Like,
yeah, you're
exactly. And politics, the people that are going to fly out and see you at the fucking Olympia are like the most dedicated. Yeah. Like that person spent like $1,000 to come and say what's up.
Stood in line for 2 hours.
Yeah. For like, hours. I mean, I've seen some of those lines are massive.
How would you be like, okay, let's get a photo, buy a shirt, see ya.
Yep.
How can you do that? Like, right. That shit blows my mind, and I hear that to this day. I've gone to expos for the last fucking 6-7 years, and to this day, the last time I went to an expo, I heard the same shit about everybody else, and I'm like, why the fuck? And not everyone, because there are a few other people who do take the time, but most people, they'll be like, man, everyone else is just like, fuck off, and I hear that literally like person after person.
Yeah.
And I guess I want to put it out there, like, I don't understand why that's still going on.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And yeah, I mean, it goes back to what you're saying about being like a legit person above and beyond the fact that you're famous.
Because let's face it, right? You own a company, Trifecta, right? You sell a product. But at the end of the day, like the product that you're selling, you believe in enough about like the purpose of it and what it can do for like the rest of the world other than just make you some money. Mm-hmm. And I know that through personal experience of just talking to you, having conversations with you about like why you're doing it, what's the importance of it. And like even the way you run the business, about how much you give to people who are part of it, like you, because you want everyone to push it forward. And that's the thing I don't think people understand is like, that's how you become successful. Really give a fuck about everyone around you in your circle.
Yep.
And give a fuck about the people that you're serving.
Yep.
Like if you give them everything, like why the fuck would they be like, I don't want to give you any money. Like, I don't want to buy your stuff. I don't want to support your products. They're going to be like, no, if you've already given, they're going to be like, damn, like that's a dope hat. Why would I not buy it? You know? This is a great product. The Trifecta thing is like, it's something that no matter what, you need good food in your life. And it's like you're selling something that's making people better.
Right.
And that's what's so cool about it. And your passion behind it is not just, oh, I can make some money selling this product, but this shit actually means something to me and really can mean something to everybody. And if you can like create something, a product or a brand like around that, there's no way you can ever be successful. But people get so caught up in just like, that guy sells something. I want to sell that something too. And that's their only motive. They just see someone else being successful and they're like, oh, he sells food, I want to sell food. Or he sells a shirt, I want to sell a shirt because he's making money. I want to make money. But it's like, no, like my intention started from like, I want to fucking help people. And then this is like a byproduct of something that means something to me, like because I put my logo on it. My logo means something to me. So this means something to me. It means something to the people that I've been helping. And that's how I thought about everything when I was, and I didn't understand why other people didn't think about that. So
I think that passion, like you just spoke about it and you know, a testimony
give,
to it.
Give
I've
him
seen
the big
so
plant.
Much. No. Yeah, get that big plant for you.
The big plant.
Okay, this all sounds a little bit more even here. Yeah. This is about right. There we go.
Oh, fuck this shit. I've that speech I just got about how tight Trifecta and I am. Come on, you're right. You pass that over.
I'm going to hold on to this for a little bit longer here while I talked about UFC for a second. When, you know, the owners of that, the previous owners were Lorenzo Frank Fertitta and Dana White. And we had all sorts of different companies that came in and tried to emulate or compete, et cetera, throughout time. But no one shared the passion like you're talking about. Like, I know Lorenzo Fertitta, and he was, before he was in the UFC, he was on the boxing commission, even though he's from a billion-dollar company, family-owned billion-dollar company. And Dana White was teaching kickboxing classes to corporate people, and he was managing fighters. Like, Tito Ortiz was one of the fighters that he managed, and these guys had a passion with the resources behind it that was unmatched by anyone else. So other people will be like, man, they're making a ton of money. They're making a ton of money. And I've been approached to go and be parts of other promotions and companies, even as recently as last year, to be like a figurehead in something. But going there and seeing the leadership, and even though there's a lot of money behind something, without the passion is a scary thing when you're like talking about jumping in, because you're not going to beat that kind of passion that you talked about or the passion that you had. You can't beat that. When all things are equal, say there's a lot of money here and a lot of money there, but there's a diehard passionate group here, they don't stand a chance against the other guys without the money. So I like that. I can totally relate on that front. And at the end of the day, you know, we're basically driven by passion. You know, Napoleon Hill, you know about Napoleon Hill,
of course, yeah.
Think and Grow Rich. His two biggest leaders of success are definiteness of purpose, like what, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And just a positive mental attitude. Which
positive. That was the first self-help book I ever read.
Isn't that a great book?
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. King classic. Knight.
Napoleon
it's
Hill.
One of the most
Napoleon
classic
Hill,
ones ever, yeah.
All Napoleon Hill stuff is awesome. Mm-hmm. But that's just, he got together with his, you know, he studied Carnegie and he studied all these, the most successful people of his time, financially of his time. And it was just two things that boiled down to as his opinion as the most important things. And they were kind of neck and neck. Definiteness of purpose. What's my purpose? Why am I doing this, et cetera? And PMA, positive mental attitude. And that is harder for some people than others because not everybody is a jovial, happy dude. But you have to make some decisions sometimes and you'll get down and whatnot. But those two things, and you know, when you're talking about your purpose that got you started and you recognize Greg's purpose and you know, I've had purpose throughout. I mean, it's just such a powerful thing. So, you know, they see these cliche things throughout time. You know, follow your passion, the money will come. You know, you can accomplish anything if you put your mind to it. Like, it really is true.
No, it's funny because it is corny as shit, but
it's corny, but it's
fucking true.
It's all true.
Like, my whole life is like a literal, like, that. I look back and I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
It just took time. That's the thing. People are like, but I'm passionate. I care about it. Like, I should have it yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Like, if that's the thing that's going through your mind, like, you need to slow down and be like, just keep working at it. And really still embody that and feel that. But as long as you keep going towards it, you'll eventually get there. Yeah. It just may not be when you want it. Right. But it wasn't when I wanted it. Like, I wanted it when I was 21.
Right.
I'm 29 now and I have it. It just took me time.
Exactly.
So,
and
yeah,
it's gonna be.
It always comes down to that.
And when you're 35 or you're 39, I mean, I can only imagine the success you're going to have. It's in your learning and you're mindful and you understand why, you know, there's a conscious competence. You are very good at something and you know understanding why and how to break it down. That means you can teach it. That means you can adjust it if it falls off. That's a powerful thing, knowledge and self-awareness. That's why I think about when you started talking about the fight game, and I told you I've been talking to Logan Paul, and Logan Paul is – he comes from a wrestling background.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that actually competed in one of the hardest sports in the world and took fifth in one of the toughest states. And so when he starts talking about wanting to fight MMA and he just had a boxing match, I mean, how can you doubt somebody that truly believes themselves, that has put work in before and has gotten the top of something like he has in a social media area? And when he he's going, and then we're talking about fighting Sage Northcutt, who's one of our teammates, and Sage said the same thing. He said, how can you doubt somebody who really believes in himself if he does believe in himself? So those kind of fights.
I don't think he can get to where he's at without believing himself.
You know, cannot.
Yeah, like it's, yeah, no matter what, like how the fuck, it's not like by accident.
Yeah, and when you're talking about wanting to learn some boxing and some jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, I can already tell your personality, you're going to learn a little bit and you're going to want more and more and more. And by the time
Which is also why I never got tattoos.
Yeah,
I would be the
I don't have any
tattoo
either.
Guy.
Do you have any tattoos?
No,
dude.
No.
I thought you had a clover right here by your belly button.
Yeah, I thought you had like one right over your.
By your
I thought you had one of these like what is it?
Tramp stamp.
Yeah.
A trifecta tramp stamp.
He's like, give him the Ellen mug back. Give him the Ellen mug.
Oh, shit, for sure.
Give him the Ellen mug. I could have sworn I saw when I was looking at your belly button ring that you had one of those four leaf clovers.
You're such a motherfucker. You are deleting this shit on the podcast. That's all a goddamn lie.
What does your wife think of that?
She loves it. She used to chain him up and walk him around by his belly button ring.
Oh, for sure, take this out the podcast. Oh, my God.
She just yank him like one of those little kids that has a harness. Come on, Greg.
The leash kids.
You know,
leash.
Have you met Greg's wife yet?
Yes, yeah.
Way hotter. He manifested someone way hotter and smarter than him.
Hold on a second. I partner with Greg in Trifecta. I was like, because of many things, right? Because it took me a while. It takes me a while to say yes to anything because I'm very like, I come from a past like my father took his life very very hard on trusting,
right?
Because I'm afraid to lose, right?
Right.
So long process to be like, okay, let's do it, right? Let's do this together. But when I met Greg's wife, I was like, I'm fucking sold. This guy is a genius. This guy is a fucking genius.
How did he do? How did he pull it off?
He is amazing.
Belly button ring,
so smart.
Stamp.
She knows.
Four leaf clover by his pec.
I don't know. He's a smart guy. He's a smart very guy. Smart guy.
That's yeah. my man. That's crazy. Full I didn't. Credit. I didn't,
love
I
you, baby.
I wasn't aware that your father committed suicide. That's a powerful thing, man. Yeah. I mean, that was when you were younger. Or?
When I was six, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's what was he a pretty big part of your life at that time?
Well, I mean, I was six. He was my mom and my dad actually had got divorced like a year before that.
Uh huh.
So I mean, he was. I mean, I was six. So I was like,
right,
my,
yeah. My but he was there.
Were,
yeah.
My parents were like my, you know, they are your life.
That's wild, man.
So
that's why that's in. We just had Lee Kemp on last podcast, and that guy's story is incredible. And it's funny because I met so many people that make excuses on things of why, you know, they can't. And then I see people with excuses that could be can'ts that are just part of the reason why they can.
100% part.
And I love that.
100% the reason why I did.
Yeah.
Because. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that motivates me now is when people come up to me, and most of my audience are fans, they're guys, and they say, you helped me change my life, or you did this thing for me, because I knew what it felt like when I was younger to want the same things, to want a father figure, someone in my life to be like, hey, you're doing good,
right?
You know, keep going. And I didn't have that growing up. So when I got older, being able to see that I had the opportunity to give that to other people, like the hope, that's what I was, I did an interview the other day, yesterday, with Emma, mm-hmm. right? And we were talking about it, and that's the thing that pushed me now. Like, that's the thing that motivates me now is to reach more people, because, like, there's been points in my life completely broke, no money, living in my car, all the kind of bullshit. And then now I have all this money, and you think, like, it's a cool thing. And it is cool, like, because I can pay my bills more easily, or I can eat the food I want to eat more easily. And I'm grateful for that. But you realize, like, it gets to a point where you're like, well, what does it mean? It doesn't mean much else besides that. And then the biggest thing that, like, when I receive it, I'm like, oh shit, my heart feels good, is when people share their stories with me.
Yeah,
like, that's it.
Yeah. And that's powerful stuff, man. And I've been there too, you know. I've experienced some tough things throughout life also, you know, brother having a mental breakdown at the age of 21, my sister's, you know, in a car accident where she has to have her skull removed and is in a coma, and, you know, my father had a stroke when he was, you know, 48 years old. And, you know, the list goes on of all these things, and it baffles me. I remember talking to someone, and he's like, well, this girl was acting crazy. And I'm like, you know, dude, what is she doing? And he's like, oh, you don't understand. She had this happen, she had that happen, and she had this happen. And I started saying, like, talking in third person about, well, I know a guy who's had this happen and had this happen, and parents broke up, and his father was an alcoholic, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, we don't use that as excuses. We dictate what we do in this world. And I love that, you know, you lost something that's a powerful part of anybody's life, their father. And you've used that to say, hey, I'm going to be something for people that need what I wanted. Yeah. And use that as motivation. That's a powerful thing, man. I love that. Well, that's cool. And so how does your mom step up at that point? Was your mom?
Oh, my mom's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did they say? When in human development, I said this also, it can be a teacher, it can be an aunt, it can be a mother, it can be a grandmother. When you have somebody that believes in you and is there for you, and you know through thick and thin that somebody has your back no matter what, and I try to recreate that with my team, you know, the best possible and everything else, that in itself is a powerful thing for a child. So losing a father or having this happen or, you know, that happened, as long as there's somebody out there that believes in you and you can take that and build off it, it's awesome. And
yeah, and I think sometimes it's being able to see it, though, too, because I remember looking back now at the time, like, I think I felt this, but I wasn't, like, as aware of it as I could have been. But the first guy that I talked about earlier in the gym, Chad, the guy who pushed me, when I saw what they were doing, I was like, damn, I want to do that. He was also someone who really believed in me, was like, you, like, gave me the thought of, like, you can do anything.
Right.
And I, like, didn't, I kind of knew it at the time, and it gave me a lot of, like, hope when he would say it. But looking back now, I'm like, I think that's the thing that really got me addicted to the gym.
Right.
And, like, because almost, like, I felt I related that feeling to, like, from him to the gym. Being, right. like, having that feeling. Because it was just, like, it's like a younger boy just being, like, I want someone to be, like, man, what you're doing is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Giving you that.
100%.
That courage kind of just to keep going. And because I was looking for that. Yeah. With coaches, with like, friends, like parents growing up, all kinds of shit. And I think he was one of the first people who was like, I was in my a little bit like getting closer to 18.
Yeah.
And I was in the gym, and like he was a big, like, because it was an everyday thing. I was in there every single day, sometimes the whole fucking day.
Yeah.
So at some point during the day, I would see him and we would train together, and he would give me that like, hey, you can do anything type mentality.
Yeah.
Through like things he was doing and also the things that he would say and share with me. And he kind of gave me tough love too. Like there was a time when I remember, and these are the things I needed, right? Which is why it was so powerful. There was a time when a kid was, I think he was doing a bench press with like 25s.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, like it humbled me. I'm barely doing 225.
Right.
So, but I went to Chad, I was like, huh, look at this.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I'm stronger. That kid's weaker. Look at this. And then Chad checked me. He was like, he got so mad. I'm talking about so mad at me. Like it's legit where I was like, I was a little bit scared. I was like, is this guy going to fucking hit me? Yeah. Like he was really mad at me. He was like, he's like, you didn't start there.
Yeah.
Why can you say that? You didn't start there. Like, and it was almost like it's just a learning experience. The whole thing, like someone actually like mentoring me, like my first mentor really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then since I think it was related to the gym, that's what really got me addicted to being at the gym and continuing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would have been like my first mentor when I was like 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
Well, it's something I feel like is coming back, especially with dudes. Like I'm sure you guys all saw the post that Khabib did after the McGregor fight where he did like that brotherhood post that got fucking shared by everybody.
Yeah.
I saw so many fighters, bodybuilders, CrossFitters, everybody resharing that
post.
Oh, it was
fucking amazing.
Because it was like, you know, him being at the top of the world. He's now, you know, 27-0, I think. The number one fighter really in the UFC.
Goes from like 4 million to like 15 million on Instagram. Like,
yeah. Blows up in popularity. And he's like, you know what? If you cut my boy out, who's way less famous than me because of all the stuff that went down, I'll fucking walk away from all of it myself. And that like level of commitment to brotherhood, like it's so crazy. Like even amongst dudes, we let so much of our decision making process be made up of fear. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Like we're thinking like, oh, what if, you know, this guy fucks me over or whatever in this business deal or this, you know, relationship or whatever. Like that's like one of the main, because all of us have been fucked over by somebody, you know, and that shit makes you super jaded. You're like, that shit's never going to fucking happen to me again.
Dude.
You know what I mean? And it's the same with, you know, obviously women, which will, you know, move the plan around and dive into that conversation.
Yeah.
You guys blow me up about my wife, you know, who is amazing. Love you, baby.
Yeah.
That I feel like is something I love that Khabib has almost like pushed a shift in that conversation where a bunch of dudes were like, yeah, I fucking want that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want guys. That's why I think we love EO so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a group of CEOs. And it's like without something like, you know, that group, it's like you would never feel that like peer bond. There's no way that we would all like get together because everybody would be like, what are these other motherfuckers trying to get out of me? You know what I mean? Like, why are they, you know, trying to hang out and da da da? And we just get so much value out of that brotherhood that I feel like is something that in 2018, especially amongst dudes, is definitely missing. You know,
it's absolutely.
It's, like that lone warrior, like cowboy, you know, mindset has been what has been popularized. And it's, you know, I don't know. It's something I thought about a lot after Khabib did that post, you know. And it's, you know, that was a big, like, stand for him to say, hey, I'll walk away from all the fame, all the money. You keep the millions.
Yeah, that shit was,
you know.
And the best part about that conversation was he didn't have any purpose. He was just speaking from the heart. Like, this is, it wasn't like a thought, hey, should I post this? Should I not post that? I was just like, blah. You know, this is what it is. That's how it is, period.
And that's what I'm talking about earlier. It's being able to be vulnerable. Like, show who you really are no matter what, period. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's ironic, too. You talk about fear, like, being afraid of doing something because of, like, your past transgressions or the things that you've gone through. So you're like, oh, I don't want to go through that again. But, like, that goes the same thing with, like, not just business but relationships. At the end of the day, though, if you're not willing to be vulnerable enough to, like, try again, it's never going to fucking work out, whether it be like a new relationship or a new business venture to take the risk. Like, if you're just going to be like, no, I'm not going to let that happen to me again, then you're not going to fucking go forward with anything.
Yep.
So that's the biggest battle a lot of people have is they get fucked when they're young, and then they're like, everyone's out to get me. Fuck everybody.
Yeah, they turn just super cold hearted.
Yeah, cold hearted. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times, especially recently.
Oh, yeah.
Some people that are like, dude, I gave opportunities to and this and that. Doesn't, you know. You know, and they turn on you. It's crazy to have that happen to you.
God,
but you can't let it jade you to the fact that there's a lot of great people out there. I've got friends that are, you know, friends of mine since I was a child that have been loyal and would lay down on tracks, you know. You know, I love that. And one of the things that you mentioned with your first mentor, people don't understand. It's almost like, you know, on Billy Madison, where he's calling people to apologize, and he calls the serial killer and is like, "Hey, man, sorry for making fun of you." He's like, "Oh, no problem." Then he puts on the lipstick and crosses him off the list.
Yeah, not going to kill him. Yeah.
Like, not going to kill him. Yeah. Like that. And how many times have like kids that have committed suicide or kids that have almost committed suicide, and then somebody who they saw as important showed them some kindness, maybe a popular kid at school, like gave them something, or, you know, I hear stories like that.
It's just the littlest thing.
The littlest thing can change. Like the kindness thing is so real. And how important are mentors and coaches and teachers and that kind of stuff? Like, that's some of the people that aren't getting paid a lot that are following their passion and are really, really changing people's lives. So I just shout out to all the teachers, coaches, and people that are kind to other people. You know, Sage is a great example of that. That guy spreads joy. You come into the room and he's like, "Hey, ho!"
Yeah. Hey, so he's like the nicest dude you've ever met. Like, yeah. I met him and I like practically like hugged him on the first shit. He's just like, like, "Oh, how are you?" Da-da-da-da. He's just like, super nice.
And Cody Garbrand actually is a guy like that too. He's a guy that can brighten up a room as long as he's not pissed off, you know. And he's a guy that's been sculpted because his father was in prison. He's been sculpted by people that he sought after to want to be like, yeah. Coaches, wrestling coaches, you know, stepdads or whatever it may be. He would actively seek out people like you did that he needed that growth from. And you know, part of the reason you have success, I have success, you know, all of us, is because of people we looked up to in kindness.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
So diving into the relationships, you know, what the next question is going to be. You want to pass the plant back?
What is the next
question?
What's
the latest and greatest on that front? You can take a sip of kombucha.
You're definitely getting
the
Ellen on this one. And you also, I love you to the moon and back. There you go, buddy.
Man, yep. I've had an interesting situation for a while.
Give him the baby plant.
Yeah, for a while. No. It's crazy, man. Cute. So there's a girl who I have been on and off with for like fucking 6 years, and like I love her, absolutely love her. I would marry her, have kids, do all the whole thing. And there's issues on both sides for sure. 100%, it's always that way. I don't think it's ever one sided. I can't. Oh, it's her fault, or it's just my fault. There's obviously things I've been through in my life that like. I kind of, in relationships, I have a certain standard or a certain idea of how things should go. And she, in the same, you know, has things in her life that she's been through from a young age or past relationships and even our relationship in the beginning and kind of the mindset that I was in where I was like in a different place. So I acted, you know, accordingly, which wasn't great. And then it kind of put pressure on the whole like trust thing. And, but we had tried for very long, and we still talk here and there, and we're still trying to like do it. But it's just hard because it seems to be like it's almost like at a point where it's like, okay, I need to go do this, she needs to go do that, and like we figure our own selves out before we come back and be like, hey, we're gonna make this really work. Because mm-hmm. It's like there's just so much. I don't know. I feel like if you get so far and like if you've gone through enough things, like that's a good thing on one, but then it's also like did you go through something and like figure it out, or did you just go through it? So it's like I think we've just gone through a lot of things and figured out a few of them, but we didn't figure out enough of them. So it's kind of like you need to like kind of put things aside and be like, okay, like figure these things out before we come back and be like, let's make it work. Mm-hmm. So but I love her to death, man.
Yeah, like that's
she's been there from the beginning of everything before I had anything. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing where I'm like, man, like I really a big
you know,
part of
you
me,
know she likes you.
Yeah. And a big part of me, like, I want to give her, you know, a part of my success. Like, I want to be able to take care of her and do all those things that, like, I've, you know, growing up, I always wanted to be able to do. And then another thing growing up, I always wanted to have two kids. I always wanted to have two boys because, like, you know, I have a brother. I always wanted to, like, be the father I didn't have, essentially. And I think she would be the perfect mother for that. But it was just a situation where it we'd come back and it would just be like, just complete like misunderstandings mm-hmm. and like kind of like bad communication lines. So I think that's one of the biggest things to be able to like kind of sometimes step away and be like, okay, figure this out. Let me figure this out. And like, let's try to like do this when we're a little more clear minded.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, for me, having been like married for a while now, you like big part of marriage that you guys can potentially look forward to is
I'm kind of married.
Yeah, is you get to spend a huge amount of your life talking about feelings. It's like, you know, like with Kaya and I, my wife, you know, we spent a huge period of time early in the relationship. I actually had gone from like a successful business that we sold to the business before Trifecta, which was, you know, essentially a failure. And that's the reason we ended up launching Trifecta. And like through those times,
which by
like,
the way, Trifecta is a huge success. So everyone listening, you had a big failure before you had like a fucking massive success.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we just talked about it on, out. We talked about it on another show. I was like okay. $750,000 in debt. Like it was, you know, brutal, brutal stuff for like a relationship. Cause you know, your wife's sitting there going like, did I marry
making
you?
All the money.
Yeah, making all the money. She was supporting bro. Me, you know, fucking looking at me beast. Like, you know, we're fighting all the time. She's like, did I marry a fucking bum? You know, she's got to be like thinking that in her head, you know, even though she loves
probably
me and all
not,
this stuff.
But yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? And right. The, you know, one of the things I've started doing is, and it took me 9 fucking years to realize this, was like going back and like talking through stuff that had happened in the past, even in the distant past. I would like hate to bring that shit up because it would be like a negative memory.
Yeah.
And it would like cause a fight because you're like, women can remember, like, you know, Jay can attest to this. Like,
anything.
They can remember their feelings from like September 14th, you know, 2009. Like, and we're like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like me going back and like talking through some of that shit with her from the past that was like, you know, horrible times, you know, because we were broke and fucking struggling and all this shit is like extra healing for her, you know what I mean? Like, whereas originally I had like avoided it like the plague, and the more I've like learned about like my feelings and become like, you know, I guess more of a grown man, is like I'm able to actually go back and talk about that stuff because I know it's like helping her recover from like the shitty stuff I did back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you know, it's, I don't know, it's like a weird thing that just took me a fucking decade to figure out, because there's like dudes were like, I know about my feelings, and then like she says something and you're like, god fucking damn it, and you're like, you know, yeah, you're not thinking that. Like, oh, I'm feeling the feeling of anger right now.
Angry. I mean,
like, yeah. Yeah, like they're like always like psychoanalyzing their feelings and like what they're going through, and we're just like dudes honestly, especially in their 20s, we're like so oblivious to our feelings. We like start to figure it out as we get older, and we're like, oh wow, I'm feeling all these different things, and I should probably fucking come to terms with that shit. You know? It's like, I don't know. It's a crazy one that, yeah, I don't know. It took me a long ass time to figure out, and I don't know where I'm
going.
You're probably still gonna be figuring it out.
That's it. Yeah. Just let it all out.
Yeah, I know.
Good cry.
I feel like
fucking. Why are you trying to get my boy to cry? Fucking cry.
Have a good cry. Come on.
Fully turn the Ellen.
What would Ellen do?
What would Ellen do? What about you, dude?
Dude, I'm in a great relationship right now. I think we're, you know, talking about starting a family. I'm 39 years old, so
yeah.
It's about fucking time. And I've learned all the lessons.
Really young.
Thank you.
You do not.
It's because I can't grow facial hair. I'm starting to get a couple chest hairs, but it took me a long time.
I thought it was because how tall you were.
No, I'm a lot taller than I think I am. So, you know, now I'm in a great relationship. Jaslyn is my girlfriend, and we've been living together for a while now. And I've been through a lot of great relationships, some rocky ones, learned a lot. The trust thing is always a hard thing to get back, and in a lifestyle like mine, especially, been ups and downs, and you know, traveling across the world and all that kind of stuff. But I'm in a really great place right now. I feel like I'm pretty much married at this point. Just, you know, following through and all that good stuff is you know, in the horizon.
Time to have a baby, bro.
Maybe I have time to throw some babies in the mix, man.
Hell yeah.
I think it's about that time. So I'm excited for that. And one of the easiest, I think it's because I've learned a lot about myself throughout the years, one of the easiest relationships I've ever been in. And it's due to open communication, saying things exactly how they are, knowing that things aren't going to be perfect, you know, knowing some of my own weaknesses, which I kind of know those as it is. And her and I were friends for like 5 years prior to actually having a relationship.
Yeah.
And so she knows me, like we've like spilled beans on each other about like different stuff. So I know her really well. She knows me really well. And it's exciting, man. I'm getting pumped for the next phase. Retired life ish. Not really, but from getting punched in the face and
now moving towards new life. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's like the next phase of things. And, I'm excited for it, man. And, on that note, before I get to the weeds on things, we got to do this again, man.
I'm down.
Yeah, we got to do more. We'll do some more stuff together. Like I said, we're just getting to know each other. You guys have been building a relationship. We have a lot of mutual friends and acquaintances. I got to get you training. I'm going to hook you up with my boy Paul.
And down in L.A., right?
Out in L.A. Yeah. I'm going to get you with Cabrina, who's a jiu-jitsu player. We've got, you know, I got a bunch of guys lined up because I want you to be look the part and be able to smash somebody if they pipe off at the wrong time. You know,
I feel
saying?
Like Bradley's gonna be like too dangerous if he has like the strength, the athleticism.
He's definitely
gonna
be way too dangerous. The silver tongue, the physique, and then the skills to back it up, and the money in the bank,
and this the beard is, game.
We're talking
beard
about game. Arnold Schwarzenegger over here.
Let's go. Yeah, nice. I gotta get you on my podcast.
I would love to, man. Yeah. I'll be out there on the 25th. I've got some meetings, and I'm doing Theo Vaughn's podcast
and
I'm a fan of his, man. That guy's
a
crack
a podcast.
He's got a great haircut too, and I like that about
yeah
him.
That's mainly it. That's podcast.
That's about it.
It's just the haircut.
But dude, I would love to get on with you and let's talk some.
How many days are you in LA for?
I think I'm there for 3 days. I'll hit you up. I got your info and we'll get on. But thanks again for being a part of this.
Absolutely,
man.
Thanks for having
me. We really appreciate you. We had a great time getting to know you, and I know we're gonna do some big things in the future. Guys, I hope this inspired you. What a great story. You know, that's what we're trying to bring here. We're trying to give perspectives on things that we may or may not know about. A specialist in social media, in fitness, and an inspiration, in my opinion, as well. So thanks again for having us. And where's your gym, by the way?
In Woodland Hills.
Woodland Hills.
It's called Zoo Culture. So if you guys ever want to go, I'm there literally like every day.
Yeah.
It's 6455 DeSoto Avenue, Woodland Hills. Gotcha. It's like right there in the Warner Center.
And on YouTube, what's your YouTube?
You could just search Bradley Martin. Martin's with a Y. And then my Instagram, Twitter, everything is just my name.
Got
if you
it.
Start typing Bradley, you'll probably find it.
Now you give the address, more people are going to show up and be like,
I know.
I know Bradley.
The weirdos are coming.
I know Bradley. It's a $20 date pass. Seriously, guys.
Oh, bro.
No, I have no. I'm telling you, it will bother me. It will be people who like really fake love support me and be like, let me in for free. I'm like, it's $20.
Oh my
what
gosh.
The fuck, dude, if it was $100, I'd be like, okay, you know, let him in.
On that
$20
before we close out, when I first started getting a little bit of notoriety, you have those slick talking friends, and they would put me in the most uncomfortable situations trying to get me and them into something for free, and I just always have to stop and be like, dude, this is embarrassing. Like trying to get a free cover for $20 or something like that. You don't know who this is? You don't know who this is? You know who this is? I'm like, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they know that I can afford $20. So here's the $20 for you and him, and just shut up, dude.
Damn.
Pay your way, guys. That's it.
Yeah, last lesson for the day.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. We're just gaining momentum with this thing. We've got a lot of back episodes that you can listen to, but this has been a great one. So
appreciate
thanks
it,
again. Man. CaliCast. Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.